time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, February 3rd, episode 119. Let's get started with the tip-off topics, and boy, do we have a lot to go through in the next couple of minutes. Leading off with the blockbuster trade that took place in the wee hours of the night, in which Anthony Davis, along with other parts, were traded, with the main part being Luka Doncic being traded from the Mavericks to the Lakers, and then other pieces, draft picks, Jalen Hood, Tofino, being traded to Utah. And it's one of these things where, listen, let's be honest. No one saw this coming. No one even thought that either one of these guys were on a trading block. And it's one of those things where it may go down as arguably the biggest and the most stunning trade in NBA history in regards to the fact of two megastars, two top 10 guys. And we'll spend a little bit of time next segment in our awards are kind of talking about, you know, how this fits in regards to playoff races and win totals. But really quick, let's start with AD. I think this is a great trade for Dallas. I know I'm in the minority with this. I understand that AD has injury concerns. And I know he's banged up now. But for the last 2 years, he's been relatively healthy. This gives Dallas someone who can run a pick and roll with Kyrie, right? And you dive AD down the middle of the floor, or get on what we call that short roll situation where he catches the ball around the elbow, where he can put an elbow shooter. He's not much of a three-point shooter. I know he wants to be a four, but that's not his game. But how does it benefit other guys from Dallas? Kyrie, obviously, pick and roll, look for his assist numbers to go up. But then you start looking at the other guys. Pick and roll, space the floor. PJ Washington, Quentin Grimes has been really good, right? And obviously, Klay Thompson. You space the floor with shooters, but the really good thing about Dallas is, yes, they gave up Luka Doncic. I understand. This is a guy that's 25 years old. They kept Lively. They kept Gafford, right? So they also have pieces in with someone like Daniel Gafford. They can flip for someone else if they want to. It makes sense short-term for Dallas. Long-term, that's when you get into the age. But with Kyrie's age, they only got a short window right now in Dallas of about two or so years. Let's go to the Lakers side. If you're talking short term, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I think there's going to be a struggle with two guys that want to dominate the ball and Luka Doncic and LeBron James. But if you talk about La La Land, the Lakers, right, from when they were Minneapolis, from George Mikan, to Jerry West, to Elgin Baylor, to Wilt Chamberlain, to Kareem, to Magic, to Worthy, to Shaq, to Kobe, to Gasol, to LeBron, to AD, now to Luka. They got their next star, superstar, top five, top 10 player for the next decade. He's got to get himself in a better shape. That's a part of the frustration out of Dallas. But you can't mistake this guy is basically a walking triple double. And hopefully being around LeBron can mentor him, because LeBron's a big fan of his game, and get him to get his body right. Because if his body's right and his mind's right, he's a top five player in the sport. So where does this go with the Lakers? Folks, there's got to be another move now. And it's a center. Luka is a minus defender on the ball. LeBron probably is a stretch four, not a great defender. You lose your best rebounder, your best rim protector. Here are names to be thinking about for the Lakers. Mitchell Robinson and the Knicks, may get moved by Thursday. You can look at Jonas Valanciunas. If he doesn't get moved by Washington, maybe a buyout. Clint Capella out of Atlanta, and maybe even a Walker Kessler with Utah. So that kind of gets you the thought process of the trade. Unbelievable trade. Shocked everyone. We'll have more on this in the award tour. We talk about the win totals for each team. Let's go on to the next trade that took place last night. And that's a three-team trade that involved the Spurs getting De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin, the Kings getting Zach LaVine, three first-round picks and other parts, and the Bulls getting Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, their own 2025 pick back from San Antonio. Now, De'Aaron Fox had talked about this was his preferred destination. And let's look at it from the Spurs angle first. Unbelievable. This backcourt of De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle could end up being one of the best defensive backcourts in the league. Long, athletic, push the pace. De'Aaron Fox is a young player. You have Wembanyama, obviously. We know how great Wemby is. I think he's a top 10 player in the league right now. But you didn't have to give up Devin Vassell. You didn't have to give up Keldon Johnson. So this young, young core of San Antonio is now starting to get into that window. I said they were going to make the playoffs before the season started. I'm sticking to that right now with the De'Aaron Fox move. Now, with the Kings, listen, I don't know. I love Zach LaVine. But haven't we seen the Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan experiment happen already? And didn't the Kings a couple of years ago, three or so years ago, have Tyrese Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox, and Davion Mitchell? They traded Halliburton to get Sabonis, right? And then they turned around and Davion Mitchell didn't work out. And now they traded De'Aaron Fox. So now it's a hole at the point guard spot. Zach can score. You know me. I was on light to beam. I'm off light to beam. I'm back on. But it's like they need a point guard because they're going to miss De'Aaron Fox. Bulls, this is just part of the blow up, right? Look for Vucevic maybe to go. Got like Torrey Craig may get bought out. Ayo Dosunmu, did they try and trade him? They're going to restart over. Speaking of restarting over, they got to restart over in New Orleans because poor DeJounte Murray, who got hurt the first game of the year, came back, and now tore his Achilles. Simply put, they got to blow this up. It's not working, right? So McCollum, B.I., Herb Jones, Zion, like, they got to do something here because they're kind of stuck in the middle. They're not even stuck in the middle. They're just terrible. So look for something maybe this summer, either B.I. or Zion gets moved. Maybe McCollum happens as well. Now to the WNBA. This is going to be quick. Four-team trade. Particulars. Big players. Yannick Carrington going to Dallas, along with Nelissa Smith. You can look at Satu Sabli going to Phoenix. Indiana getting Sophie Cunningham in a first-round pick, right? This was a really big trade that involved these four teams. Connecticut gets J.C. Shelton, Rebecca Allen, and Natasha Cloud. Simply put, Phoenix is rebuilding, right? Obviously, getting Satu to play with Kalia Copper, right? Dallas, they can't get a lot of people who want to go there. They're still in flux of what they do with the number one pick. Connecticut, rebuilding as well. I like what Indiana did. Right, getting Sophie Cunningham coming off the bench, which leads me to next. You get a player like Dewana Bonner, right? Signs a one-year deal. They got Dewana Bonner and a free agent signing. They re-signed Kelsey Mitchell, right? They get Sophie Cunningham in the trade. They get Natasha Howard as a free agent. You got and Stephanie Ware as a coach. You gotta say the Indiana Fever right now, folks, are a top, not top four now. I think they're a top three team in the WNBA heading into the season. Other offseason moves, Tina Charles, the pride of Christ the King High School, is back in Connecticut, where she went to college to start her career, signed a deal with the Connecticut Sun. This allows Tina to be a mentor for that young team, along with Kia Nurse, who signed with the Chicago Sky, another team with Angel Reese and Cardozo, who need veteran leadership, another UConn product. Kia Nurse can provide shooting, but leadership to that young Chicago Sky roster. Coming up next after this break, we'll get into our war tour. We'll look at the NBA odds after the trade. We'll look at the Lakers win total. We'll look at the Dallas Mavericks win total. We'll also look at the WNBA championship odds based on all the moving that we had this past week. This has been a crazy week in regards to trades and movement, But we'll get into the award tour after the commercial date break and break this all down. We'll be back after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 119. Let's get into our award tour. We break down futures in the NBA and college basketball. We're going to stick with the NBA and with a little WNBA at the end. And let's look at the championship odds. So let's look at this, and you'll see how we're going with this. If you look at last week, when we talked about the championship odds, Celtics were plus 210. Thunder were plus 230. Cavs were 8.5-1. Knicks 13-1. Denver 14-1. Dallas 21-1, Memphis 25-1, Milwaukee 26-1, Houston 39-1, Clippers 40-1. And if you look at after the trade, look at today, okay, February 3rd, Boston plus 210, Oklahoma City plus 230. Basically, everything is the same until under Denver. Lakers have now taken the spot of the Mavs, and they're now sitting at 21-1. Memphis is at 25-1 still. Bucks 26-1. Clippers 39-1, Dallas 40-1, and then probably I would bet to say right underneath that are the Houston Rockets. So when you take a look at it, right, folks, and this will kind of be a precursor to what I'm going to go to next. You got to be willing to take a ticket at Dallas at 40-1. There are two concerns, right? What Kyrie are we getting? Right? Are we getting focused Kyrie? Are we getting Kyrie don't take COVID vaccine, the world is flat Kyrie? Which one are we getting? Right? AD, is it the AD the last 2 years have been relatively healthy, or the AD to 5 years before that? If he's healthy, and if Kyrie's dialed in, and I think having Jason Kidd is going to help him, 40-1 is an outstanding price for the Dallas Mavericks to try and jump in now. Because I think that they're going to be absolute dynamite. You know, after the Oklahoma City Thunder, now Hartenstein's hurt again, so you got to be worried about them. I think Cleveland's starting to come back to the pack. I still look at New York at 13-1. We'll see what happens with Mitchell Robinson. But to me, you know, it's Boston, maybe a little ticket to Oklahoma City, the Knicks, and Dallas at 40-1. I'm really, really intrigued. So let's go to the win totals. So let's start with the Lakers. Lakers over in the win totals at 48.5. The Lakers right now have the eighth toughest schedule, and they have 35 games left to play. So when you start to think about it, right, 35 games left to play, and the Los Angeles Lakers have played, I'm going to say, 47 games, right? So, and they got 28 wins. So they need 21 more wins out of 35 games in a tough schedule. Luka may not be back until the end of the week. Then they got to integrate him. And then there's the schedule. And we don't know if they got a center. Guys, I can't go there 48.5 with the Lakers. I'm going under 48.5 at minus 138. My concerns with them are still with the fact that they don't have a rim protector with AD gone. They don't have a premier rebounder with AD gone. Luka's a minus defender. I don't think they still shoot the ball well enough. Now, can Rui Hachimura, can Jared Vanderbilt, can these guys step up? Yes. I just think there's got to be another move by the Lakers for me to think about them going over 40.5. And that's a rim-protecting big. Let's go to Dallas, who's at 44.5. So Dallas is at 26 wins, right? They have the 12th toughest schedule left to play, and they got 32 games left. So you're thinking about the fact that they have 26 wins. They got to get 19 more, right? 19, I do think, out of the last 32 games. And I am a believer of this is going to work. So I like them to go over 44.5 wins. I think Jason Kidd is one of the more underrated coaches in the league. I think they're going to be exceptional defensively. They got to figure out what they're going to do with AD. Listen, and I was talking to my producer, Matty George, who does a great job with this podcast. I can't thank him enough for what he does for me with this. We were talking about this just before, and we were going, okay, Kyrie, Clay, I think Quentin Grimes is taking a huge step up. So now you get to the 4-5. Personally, I want AD at the 5, PJ Washington at the 4. Now, they may go AD at the 5, AD at the 4, Gafford at the 5. But PJ Washington is going to play a big role in this as that quarter three-point shooter from the three-point line. So I think I believe in this Dallas team. I think they're going to be elite, elite defensively. A lot of their problems defensively was because of Luka's lack of focus. I am going with the Dallas Mavericks over 44.5 wins. Let's go to the WNBA, where the New York Liberty are still the favorites. They come down a little bit at plus 220. Vegas, with the trade and getting Jewel Loyd, is plus 280. Minnesota Lynx, who have everybody back and get healthy, 4-1. Indiana Fever, 4.5-1. And then Phoenix, 12-1, so on and so forth. We're not going to worry about anybody below them because Atlanta Dreamer at 60-1. Folks, the Indiana Fever, their window's now, okay? Stephanie White's one of the, I would say, three best coaches in the WNBA. And look what she did with a team like Connecticut, right? She gets Dawana Bonner and Natasha Howard as veteran leadership, right? You get Sophie Cunningham for the bench. Caitlin Clark takes a step up. Aaliyah Balzer takes a step up. Hall takes a step up. I love this team. I still am taking New York Liberty at plus 220 to win the WNBA championships. I think they're going to win another one or two. But at plus 450, I'm going to take a small little number on the Indiana Fever. I'm concerned with that Jewel Loyd, Jackie Young, Chelsea Gray backcourt. It's too small. And maybe we get a little bit of regression by the Minnesota Lynx at 4-1. And I'll tell you this. Do you think the WNBA wants the Indiana Fever in the WNBA Finals? Can you imagine the ratings if Caitlin Clark gets them there in year number two? I'm telling you this right now. That team is, they played great the second half. They stepped up in coach. They stepped up in leadership. And those kids will be better. Coming up next, we'll go into our scouting report. As we break down some games, we'll look at the first game or second game without Luka Doncic, with the Mavericks taking on the 76ers. We'll take a look at the Celtics Cavs. And we'll also take a look at the Lakers-Clippers matchup all Tuesday night, along with a little bit of sprinkle of college basketball. We'll be back with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 119. It's time to get into our scouting report as we preview the best games in the NBA and college basketball over the next couple of nights. We got to be quick because I'm going to try and get through five and get you with a buzzer beater on the way out. First off, we got to look at, obviously, Kyrie and the Dallas Mavs heading to Philadelphia and taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. When you look at this, folks, you know, AD is still dealing with abdominal strain. I don't think they're going to rush him back. I doubt he's going to play. We've got any reports that he will. Obviously, I'll have a scouting report tomorrow that will preview all three of these games tomorrow on the Sports Grid app and on social media. But to me, early takes, I'm going to take Philadelphia minus a point. I know, listen, they were playing so well against Boston until they got outblown up by, you know, 20 points in the fourth quarter. And you just look at a team in Dallas, they're going to kind of be remembered. Not only do they don't know AD, they have no Derek Lively, who's out for a little bit of time. So it's going to take them a little bit of time to kind of get going. And obviously missing someone like Luka is something that, even though he has been hurt too, you have to take into account. So we're going to go ahead and look at the 76ers minus points. Next, LeBron, the Beard, Lakers, Clippers. Folks, over. Over. Lakers total over under is at 225.2 average for the year. Clippers are at 219.3. I talked to you about my concern with the Lakers, right? I don't think they could stop anybody. So they may make it a track meet, and they may spread the floor without someone like AD, who they have to give the ball and kind of force feed into the low post. So to me, simply put, I'm looking over here. I think this game goes over. If you just split the difference between 225.2 and 219, you're probably looking at about a 222, 223 and a half. I think the game would get to 228, 230. Give me over and Lakers, Clippers. Last game, Celtics, Cavs. Now, when you look at this game, the Cavs were 32 and 16 against the spread, but they've won three games in a row. They had not been playing well until the last three games, and the Celtics are kind of like, they're kind of weird, right? Like, they play good, they don't play good, they almost lose at New Orleans, get bailed out. You know, they blow out the Bulls, then they were losing big, and they come back and beat the Sixers. I think this has got to be a statement game for Boston if they want to try and make a push for that one seed. It's six games out, they probably don't get there. Give me the Celtics plus the points. I think they find a way to steal it. College, huge game. Huge game in the Big East. I was at the Garden Saturday and watching St. John's, and I made a statement on social media. I'm going to say it right now. It's not my buzzer beater. St. John's, folks, can be a team that can make the Final Four. With the way R.J. Lewis is playing. Simeon Wiltshire's got to shoot the ball a little bit better. They struggle a little bit from the three-point line at MSG because of the depth perception at MSG compared to Carney Second Arena. But, folks, Kadari Richmond is playing like Kadari Richmond, which was a first-team All-Big East player and one of the most complete basketball players in college basketball. Big matchup, top two teams in the Big East. Give me St. John's. It's probably going to be a close spread. I'm going to say probably 2.5, maybe 3.5. If it's 2.5, take the money line, 3.5, minus St. John's. If it's more than, let's say, 4.5, make it the other way. I think it's a one-possession game. Last game in college basketball, Kentucky, Ole Miss. And it's just amazing, folks, to see what kind of you got to go through every day in this league, right? And a Kentucky team that has kind of hit the skids a little bit. I know they won the last game, but they've struggled a little bit. So this will be a tough matchup. I'm gonna go with Chris Beard and the home team. Ole Miss finds a way to get it done. Let's end our podcast with a buzzer beater and breaking news that just came out a couple hours ago. Leonard Hamilton is stepping down from Florida State. And this just goes to a track record of all the great coaches in the ACC. Leonard Hamilton, we just lost Jimmy Larrañaga, right? You know, we lost, obviously, Mike Krzyzewski. We've lost Roy Williams. We've lost Jimmy Boeheim. We lost Tony Bennett. We continue to lose great coaches in this league and all of college basketball. I once again am pleading. I am pleading to the NCAA, get this NIL under control. It's basically, I had a great point that a coach told me. I'll leave with this. It isn't how good you can recruit. It's the amount of money you have. And money wins in college basketball. We got to get to that. Hopefully the revenue sharing is coming to college basketball, college athletics. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 119 for February 3rd. For all things sports gambling, download the Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more. The very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, thank you so much for listening, folks. We started the music a little bit early, but I'm still going at the right time. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid.